The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you on the way to the best health? Or are you doing a 180? In order to live longer and better, you need to be aware of your food, your environment, and your lifestyle. Welcome to the Gillette Nutrition Show with your host, Greg Gillette. You don't need to be part of the statistics that over half of society lives by. It's time to take control. Now, here is your host, Greg Gillette.
Hello and good day to you all listening to the Gillette Nutrition Show here on Voice America. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Hope you're feeling wonderful and feeling wonderful. And if not, I'm here to help you change courses and to get you on your best health ever. My name's Greg Gillette, nutritionist, herbalist, and a health coach. This is how I introduce myself for every show, and I always talk about being a health coach because that's truly what I am, helping and guiding people to achieve awesome and amazing health. And if you look at my website, GilletteNutrition.com, it'll say that, achieve awesome and amazing health. And I guarantee my results. I can't guarantee that your illness or disease will be 100% alleviated, but I will guarantee you will feel successful and feel a lot better if you become a client of mine. And I always like to tell the story that I got involved in nutrition because I wasn't feeling that well. As a kid, I had a lot of stomach aches and some anxiety. Not the best brain power, kind of too excited. So I got better over the years searching out practitioners and nutritionists, and I got a lot better, felt better. And then I wanted to turn around and help other people that are struggling with their health issues. And we are having an epidemic in society. If you look around, it's just it's kind of sad. A lot of chronic illness, and most people just aren't aware that it can be easily prevented. And also that the best course, if you do have an illness or disease, is to really eat healthy. Nutrition truly is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. Now, today, I plan on having a special guest on the show, Mark McGaffey. He hasn't called in yet, so hopefully he will. He's the owner of Organic Pastures Dairy in outside of Fresno, California. Been involved in raw milk for many years. However, he has not called in yet, so maybe he just ran behind schedule. But I know a lot about raw dairy, raw milk. There's a lot of controversy over this topic. Number one, most people think... Well, a lot of people think raw milk, yes, is dangerous, can be ill-forming, can even cause death. Okay, well, I got the signal that Mark is ready, so my next guest, I'm repeating myself, is Mark McGaffey. He's the CEO and founder of Organic Pastures Dairy, located on the outskirts of Fresno, California. Great person. I've met him once. I've been to his farm one time as I used to live in Santa Cruz, California. And Mark just knows a ton about raw dairy and how it benefits the body. So, Mark, welcome to the Gillette Nutrition Show on Voice America.
Well, Greg, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for making a point to reaching out to me.
Yes, fantastic. It's always a pleasure to have you on this show. I don't know if you remember. You probably don't remember, but I used to live in Santa Cruz. I did come to the farm one time, picked up your milk, and I'm always telling people about organic dairy, organic pastures dairy that live in California, and I've been drinking raw milk for years.
Good, good.
So I just...
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about raw milk and death. You know, today we're going to talk about raw milk and life because...
Exactly.
You know, that story about raw milk hurting people was back in the 1800s. And it's interesting that since 1972, there's been no deaths from raw milk at all in the United States of America.
Exactly.
But there's been over 77 people that have died from pasteurized milk. And there's a lot of meat on this bone to talk about, because pasteurization is not the ultimate guarantee of safety. In fact, there was a big study done about 2 months ago that was published that said that the higher the temperature of pasteurization, the more risk of death by post-pasteurization contamination by Listeria. So, you know, it's interesting that as people reach out and try to find local sources of whole, unprocessed foods, you know, that's okay if you're looking for vegetables and fruit, but I tell you what, it's politically incorrect when you go do it with raw milk. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I definitely agree. And I've read the history of raw milk, and yeah, the really the, what I remember reading, and it makes sense, they started pasteurizing the milk years ago, like you said, back in the maybe late 1800s, because they weren't, instead of cleaning up the farm and cleaning up the soil and the grass, they just put like a Band-Aid over it and just pasteurized all the milk. And that's kind of how the medical field looks at illness also. Instead of really looking at the true causes of illness, they just kind of give you a pill.
Well, and you're right. The germ theory grew out of the late 1800s, where Pasteur and others like-minded like him, that they thought that, hey, your body's a sterile place invited by bad bugs that make us sick. We found out now, after $4 billion of working at the Human Genome Project, the Human Biome Project, the NIH, that's your tax dollars and my tax dollars, $4 billion of the money spent, 10 years of study, that in fact our bodies are intentionally, by nature, packed, filled with bacteria. And it's a balance of good and bad. And what modern medicine has done, very, very sadly, is try to sterilize the body. And what you need is a good complement of beneficial bacteria in order to keep the bad bacteria in check. And with antibiotics being the save-all, you know, do-all medicine, the Purell, you know, the hand washes and the
triclosans. Oh, yes. It's crazy.
You know, what we've done is we've caused an autoimmune mesh upon ourselves with pasteurized and sterilized foods. Well, it's good for shelf life, but not for gut life. And so now we've got ourselves a real mess, and people are realizing that, hey, listen, the best science says we need to have good bacteria, and raw milk has a plentiful source of these yogurt-like good bacteria that rebuild our immune systems. And when done properly, raw milk is very, very safe.
Exactly. And I agree with you totally that I forget the doctor's name, but what you were saying, he said bacteria is not the cause of disease. It's the terrain in the gut that you're most likely lacking that it causes the illness and disease. So it's quite interesting. And we're just...
Yes.
And you're doing it, and I'm doing it, trying to slowly spread the word across the country to wake up people. So for people that don't know you, don't know about the farm down there, what could you briefly say about Organic Pastures Dairy?
Well, it's interesting. My first job out of high school, I was actually a certified paramedic for 17 years. So I have a medical background. My wife's a nurse. She's been in nursing for 22 years, delivering babies. So I have a medical background, so my mind works in a scientific kind of way, and I've seen 15,000 paramedic patients, you know.
Wow.
In 1996, my grandparents passed away and left 600 acres of farm operations here and nobody to farm it. My brothers didn't want to farm, so my wife and I took over all the farming operations and converted everything to organic. And we established a small organic dairy that was actually selling milk to be pasteurized at Organic Valley.
Mm.
And I did not know this, but in May of 1999, Altadena, the old Stuvies dairy down in Los Angeles, was sold to Dean's Food. And
we started
our operations in 2000. So 6 months after Stuvies raw milk left the market, people were pretty much starving for raw milk. And we were the southernmost organic dairy in California. And people started showing up at our dairy, at our footsteps here, saying, we want your raw milk. We want it raw. What can we do to get it? And that was the genesis of the beginning of our raw milk dairy, was consumers coming to us and begging for raw milk. And ever since that day, we have grown and grown and grown and grown and grown in many different ways. We're now the largest raw milk dairy in the world.
Okay.
We're just milking 420 cows, you know, on our 500 acres of pastures here. We're the leading innovators of raw milk food safety. We figured out how to make raw milk a science in terms of reducing risk to a low, low level. And, you know, we figured it out. The conditions matter, just like you were talking about.
Yeah.
That the terrain matters, that your cows are out in a pasture environment or they're on dry bed packs, they're not in wet, sloppy conditions, that you clean the equipment properly and it's protocol-driven, that you always consistently do it the same way every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the conditions matter, testing matters, protocols matter, compensation of your milkers matters. The whole entire system is holistic. And we publish our bacteria counts online. We
nice.
Have a written food safety plan, which now is the envy of the world, and is posted at the Raw Milk Institute. And other farmers are actually joining in and doing this really, really excellent job of producing raw milk in a way that you can be super proud and very, very low risk. So, you know, it's a dawn of a new time, a new chapter where whole food, raw milk in its whole form, can bring forth its fantastic gifts of health. If you've got asthma, drink raw milk. It makes asthma go away. Huge studies done in Europe show that raw milk does that. And what do you know? We know that too, because 80,000 people that drink raw milk in California that drink raw milk, guess what? When they have asthma, their allergies and asthma gets better. Eczema
yeah,
gets
fantastic.
Better. You gotta remember that breast milk is raw milk.
Exactly.
So there's a
yeah.
reason why Mother Nature has this phenomenal mammalian first food that is incredibly nourishing to the human body. But pasteurized milk has been identified by the FDA as the number one most allergenic food in America. So moms are getting smart here and sharing the goodwill, just like you are, Greg,
yeah.
on the internet and on sharing on podcasts and TV shows and other medias, saying, hey, listen, raw milk's a phenomenally great food nutritiously and in for medicinal purposes, and it's so different than pasteurized milk. When this word gets out, more and more farmers are going to be able to benefit from that wonderful relationship between the consumer and the farmer and the privileges of these wonderful, wonderful foods raw milk brings to us.
Yeah, like you said, once the word gets out and FDA releases its reign of trying to put it down, more people will go into business promoting raw milk because you have a lot of little raw milk farms. And it's interesting how you're the largest in the world, but you're still small compared to the huge conglomerates. 420 cows is nothing compared to the pasteurized dairy with 10,000. And you probably, what do you think safely you could do if you had all the help and all the land? How many cows would you be comfortable with milking raw?
Well, you basically have a cow per acre. So our 500 acres will do 500 cows. So we're literally a year and a half away from being tapped out here.
Got it. That makes sense.
In our ability to produce raw milk. And we encourage other farmers to get on the bandwagon across North America to feed consumers as well. So, you know, we're just trying to be a good example and share what we know and build a good, strong market for consumers and farmers alike.
Yeah, that's great. Now, back to the government. Why do you... Well, I'm sure I know the answer. I just want to know what you think. You'll probably agree with me. But why do you think the government, especially FDA, seem to be against the raw milk? Is it more because they're protecting big business interests and they don't want the truth? Because so often that is what the government's doing.
Yeah. You know, as much as it sounds like conspiracy theory, you're absolutely right. It's interesting. If anybody's seen the movie Food, Inc., it's so true that it's a revolving door between corporate interests and the FDA. What do the FDA do when they want to get somebody to administer to federal regulation? They go to industry and hire the top end of corporate interests to come in and regulate the industry.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what's happened in the milk industry, where you have John Sheehan and others that have been hired from the milk industry to come in and regulate the milk industry. And it's unfortunate because the processing industry is what's being protected by the FDA. Well, guess what? The processors don't get to process raw milk. Raw milk is unprocessed.
Exactly.
So we are absolutely in the opposite of the paradigm supported by the FDA and the CDC. It's not helpful either.
So no, exactly.
We've tried for years to reach out and build bridges of trust and understanding. We've sent them 500-page documents showing the testing records that go back 10, 12 years, showing the science behind how we reduce risk to a low level, showing them how pasteurized milk can kill people with listeria, post-pasteurization contamination. The last 9 deaths were all pasteurized products.
Mm-hmm.
Whittier Farms, Roos Family Farms, Roos Cheese, all Cravens Brothers, those were all pasteurized dairy products. There's been no deaths from raw milk since before 1972. So there's a tremendous amount of kind of collusion, suppression, I think fraud, and also, you know, certainly some suppression of information, and they're not willing to open up the doors and allow the communication to flow because they have economic interests to protect. So it's really unfortunate because nobody in the world knows dairy more than the FDA, and yet they will not open that relationship to be able to educate themselves, educate farmers, and help us. So they're not helping us. They're actually standing in our way of progress. And I'm excited to report to you that the Raw Milk Institute, which I helped form a few years back, okay. the nonprofit, has been able to educate lots and lots of farmers across North America, including in Canada, to be able to produce raw milk in a very safe fashion. So nice. A new chapter of safe raw milk is now taking over. Interesting to note that pasteurized fluid milk is dropping at 2 to 4% per year in the marketplace because it's so allergenic and non-digestible. Lactose intolerance is associated with pasteurized milk. It is not associated with raw milk. So no allergies, easy digestion, raw milk is growing like crazy. So in California, we have good regulations for raw milk, and it's allowed to be produced legally. But other states, that's not necessarily true. Every state has their own law. The unfortunate thing is the FDA does not have a uniform law for raw milk for the United States, except for just banning it entirely.
Exactly.
So there's a big fight in our hands, and it's unfortunate the FDA can't stand with the people. Instead, they stand with the processors.
Well, they stand with the processors for any industry. Beef,
yep.
GMO foods, everything.
Yep.
It's unfortunate.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm doing my part because every client I have, I tell them, don't do dairy if it's not raw. You're wasting your money, wasting your time, even though it might be coming from smaller farmers. But still, it's just you're going to get allergies and digestive problems. The only thing I'd suggest occasionally for good fats, if they can't get raw butter, I think pasteurized butter can be relatively safe from if it's grass-fed from a health food store. That's the only thing.
You're right about that because the butter fat is fairly stable at low heat.
Exactly.
And you're right. Organic butter is a pretty good product. It's not quite like raw butter because it's still missing its lipase enzymes and some other stuff. But for the most part, pretty good product, especially when it comes from grass-fed organic sources.
Yeah, so I'm helping a lot of people get off the dairy. And then I tell them, hey, if you want raw dairy, where do you live? Obviously, you know about realmilk.com. Go to that website, look, hit the where, and you find your states. And I've lived all over the country. It all varies. Some you buy it in the store, some in certain states you sign a contract with a farmer, other states you just go to the farm. So it's kind of unique.
Exactly.
It's like 50 little countries dealing with different raw milk.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So we're coming up on a break here soon, but do you feel that a lot of people get this – I mean, a lot of people tell me this, usually people that are vegan, and you probably hear the same thing. We're the only animal that drinks another animal's milk. I shoot it down pretty quick. What's your take on that? I may have to cut you off because the break's coming up in about a minute.
No, that's a modern thought. They would have never thought about that 100 years ago. If you didn't have ready access to raw fish and fishing or a dairy cow, a goat, a sheep, a horse, or a camel, you'd starve.
Yeah.
Whenever you could find green grass and you had an animal to eat that grass, you could eat today a really good fat protein sugar, you know, coming out of a cow with all the wonderful things in the cow's milk. Today, you didn't have to starve and wait for something to grow for 6 months. You could store feed and feed the cow in the wintertime and have cheese, butter, cream at night in the wintertime. So, yeah, modern thought where people have lost knowledge about where their food comes from, they don't realize that you take away the supermarkets, you're going to starve pretty darn quick if you don't have a cow, a goat, or a sheep, or you can find raw fish. You know, because that was the basis of humanity's evolution for the last 30,000 years, was to be able to capture a mammal and domesticate that animal and have it feed grass.
Yeah, good thoughts there, good insight. We're going to take a break real quick, Mark. Stay tuned, everyone, for the Gillette Nutrition Show on Voice America. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Greg Gillette is a nutritionist, herbalist, and owner of Gillette Nutrition. Visit GilletteNutrition.com. Nutrition is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. Over 50% of the population has or will have a serious health condition, such as diabetes, heart disease, cancer, allergies, and obesity. You don't want to be part of this unhealthy epidemic. Learn the knowledge and the skills to lead a healthy and vibrant life. Choose the path to health. Contact Gillette Nutrition at 541-414-8396 or at GilletteNutrition.com. Achieve awesome and amazing health.
In order to keep your body strong and healthy, you need to keep your brain strong and healthy. It can be thought of as a rudder that steers your ship, so to speak. While you may look good, are you feeling your best? Join Dr. Will Rogers each week for Energize Your Life. Our show will help keep your body, mind, and spirit finely tuned in order to keep your quality of life lasting longer and more balanced. Energize Your Life can be heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Gillette Nutrition Show. To contact us this week, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to greg@gillettenutrition.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the second part of the Gillette Nutrition Show on Voice America. We've been talking with, or I've been talking with Mark McGaffey, CEO and founder of Organic Pastures Dairy. So, Mark, we were at the break, we were talking about that thing, the question I always get from people, more people that are vegan, and that's fine if you're vegan and you do well. I don't think most vegans do well. I think most people need to eat those fat vitamins that come from animal fats. But I always tell them when they say, well, the only animal eats raw milk, I was like, well, I think we're a little more highly evolved, not to put down the cow or the lion, but we're the only animal that I can talk on Skype across the world, the only animal that builds a car and a plane and a big skyscraper. So it's kind of funny when people say that we're the only animal that drinks another animal's milk. But I like what you said years ago. People depended on a cow or a sheep or even a camel if they weren't close to the shore and could fish. So any more thoughts?
Absolutely. You had to have animal protein, and if you killed the animal, it was dead. You couldn't get any more. So when you domesticated an animal, you had it with you for life, and its offspring you could eat if you needed to. But, you know, we don't realize that just 100 years ago, people spent the majority of their day trying to find food, you know?
I know.
Now we go to any store and get it right now. It's not necessarily food when we go get it, but the bottom line is we have sustenance that's very readily available. But 120 years ago, people were starving all over the place, and availability of food is a matter of life and death. It's very tough, and people would have, you know, a family cow or a goat or a sheep or a horse or whatever to get milk from. And if they had grass, you know, you could thrive. You could do well. And that was a major change 30,000 years ago in the evolution of mankind, where it started to thrive. And civilizations that had ready access to raw milk had a competitive advantage over those that did not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, UC Davis has an investigator up there, a big professor that's done a lot of study on this. And he basically says, quite publicly, and the Milk Genome Consortium group up there, he says, raw milk saved the world.
Oh,
because,
wow.
We have genes in our bodies that are expressed showing how our contact with mammals was so deeply ingrained in how we evolved as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And those genes were shared back and forth between the bacteria and the food we ate with the animals over the last 30, 40,000 years. So those that say, you know, you don't eat animal proteins as a human being, especially raw milk, are simply not knowledgeable of the history of man and are looking at the last 40 years in terms of the allergenicity of dairy products, thinking, oh, you know what? Dairy products are they cause a lot of allergies, therefore it must not be good for us.
Exactly.
The reason there's so many allergies associated with dairy products is because of its processing, not because it's raw.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vegans have honed in on something that's a recency problem in the last 50 years with processing, not some innate problem that's wrong with milk. Milk is highly nutritive to those that drink it, and it's non-allergenic, and it's easy to digest for everybody on the world, including black, yellow, pink, green, any color people have no problem with digesting raw milk, including the Asians, the black people in Africa have no problem. I mean, in the Mongols drink a lot of raw milk. Nigeria, the Maasai in Kenya.
Yeah,
so, you know, pasteurization is almost a racial problem. And it's kind of an oppressive, discriminatory problem against races that say, oh, you know, the processors say you have a problem, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
In fact, no, it's wrong with the processing in the milk.
Yeah.
So, you know, the vegans got to climb out of their hole and realize that, you know, you look at the history of mankind and you realize that people ate a well-balanced diet that included, yeah, lots of fruits and vegetables, but also animal proteins, including fish and eggs and lots of raw milk. And if you didn't have raw milk, then you had a lot of raw fish. So, you know, it's kind of ignorance of history is what it is.
No, I know. I'll use that next time. I haven't really used the history knowledge like you just did. I always just tell them, you know, people have existed on raw milk, a lot of cultures, but also going that spiel of we create a lot of things. So we're not the only animal that drinks another animal's milk. We do a lot of things that other animals don't do. So
yeah.
It's just interesting. We go fishing with a pole. No other animal can do that.
Right.
Yeah. So do you feel – now, I know you just said that most everyone can – well, everyone can digest raw milk. Do you think there's any special cases where – some people may have a little trouble with the raw milk. So if you ferment it into the yogurt or the kefir, it's just it's better for them, easier digestible.
You're absolutely right. There are those that have had a problem in their gut,
mm-hmm.
Have lost the ability to digest any of those caseins because, you know, it takes specialized bacteria to do that work.
Yeah.
And when people have been denied biological diversity in their diets for a couple of generations now,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, where the human body is actually starting to evolve. And there's some people, not very many, very few, but there are some that have a big problem digesting certain proteins. Gut syndrome is now prevalent.
Oh.
Crohn's disease is killing people.
Yeah.
It's bad news. The gut is not what it used to be. We do not have our grandfather's gut anymore. We've got a gut that now has more of a monoculture of bacteria in it versus the polyculture of the wonderful biodiversity of bacteria for digestive ease, for protection of our immune system, for making vitamins, enzyme production. All those things are becoming more and more limited. So you have digestion problems like crazy in America where, you know, in the organic, unprocessed food diet that was closer to the earth that had more of the on-farm type biological diversity, those digestive problems did not occur. And remember, the seat of the immune system is the gut. And about 80% or more of the immune system of the human being is the biological diversity of good bacteria in the gut. And that good bacteria requires whole food to live and survive and to eat, right?
Oh, exactly.
Well, we don't have a whole food diet anymore. Everything's processed for shelf life, not for gut life. So we have big problems. And, you know, the medical community is not coming up with any particularly good answers for this because they thrive on sick people.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's left up to the organic farmers to create healthy people that actually prevent disease, prevent autoimmune problems, and, you know, don't get cancer and all that kind of stuff through nutrition. Because remember, the medical community has literally cut apart and separated health from nutrition and has connected health and medical care as an industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite sad because the medical industry doesn't really cure much at all. It treats people that are sick, but it doesn't prevent anything. Now, a nutrition program of prevention by eating whole food nutrition, the farmer's market-like diet, actually is the only way sustainable going forward to prevent disease and keep ourselves healthy sustainably. So we got a big challenge on our hands, and it's an educational challenge.
Oh, exactly. I agree 100%. And I gave a talk on digestive health, a couple weeks ago, saying that same thing. And you agree with this. Every health issue – I don't care what it is going to have a component to the digestive tract, some more than
Absolutely.
Others, but every
Absolutely.
Single one, doesn't matter what it is, arthritis, cancer, all your digestive problems. And it really is a total lack of the good bacteria where the – and I don't think there's really bad bacteria. I think there's bad bacteria can become bad if it's out of control because you don't have – you're not eating properly because from what I've researched, we all have E. coli and salmonella in us, but it's kept in the right balance between the foods we eat and all the other bacteria, so it keeps it harmoniously
That's right.
in the gut.
It's a ratio of good versus bad. You're exactly right. And it's incumbent upon us that we want to be healthy is just keep a massive amount of good beneficial bacteria and the food to feed that bacteria to keep them really thriving.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I think they call them, what do they call it, prebiotic?
Prebiotics,
so. It's interesting. But I know some people I've helped that are really delicate. I mean, they've gotten Crohn's or leaky gut. Usually, I'll get them raw butter for sure, and then maybe the kefir yogurt. Down the road, they can do raw milk. But I think even if, like you were saying, they've lost the genome, the genes that can actually digest the raw milk. But I think down the road, a lot of them can eventually get back to raw milk. But their gut is so messed up.
It takes a little while to get to the mess they're at. It takes a little while to dig themselves out of it. You're exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, sometimes they can tell some clients it could take a year or so to totally reverse the bacteria in your body. But it's going to be quicker than the 20 years that led you to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
So as far as your products, you can supply all the products that you carry in California, where you're located, but shipping out of California, you can only send what? The cheese. Can you explain the reasoning behind that?
California. Everything has to stay in California. That's correct.
And the reasoning behind that, because if you had your way, which is a good way, you could be able to, other people could order raw butter out of the state of California. So why is that? Is it the government of California not allowing you to do that?
No, it's actually not California doesn't really regulate interstate commerce at all. It's the federal guys.
Okay.
We are very, I mean, organic pastures dairy is the biggest sore thumb on the FDA side that ever came up about raw milk. We've been very public about what we do. We've been very honest. We've been very upfront about this whole thing. There are a lot of people producing raw dairy products in the United States, especially in Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Yeah.
They ship everywhere.
They
call up right now and get shipped dairy products all over the place. It's going on so much, the FDA just doesn't have enough guys with badges to run around and get them in trouble. You know, it's just an out of control thing. The FDA can't there's too many cars driving too many directions for them to direct traffic. So it's the genie's out of the bottle now. And so even though it's illegal, a lot of people are doing it.
Well, I ship in raw butter from a farmer from Pennsylvania because I can't get it here locally. And
yep, that's right.
I probably would order from you because I've eaten your raw butter. I live in California, about a pound a week of it. And people are always like, how can you eat that much butter? I tell people my diet is like 65% fat, and I feel good, and moderate protein. We don't need we need protein, but we need more fat than protein. And people are amazed because I'm lean, I'm strong, only weigh about 150. That's partly genetics. They're like, you eat that much fat? And then I get my clients on the high-fat diet, and where the insulin levels shoot down, their blood sugar balances, their weight comes off, the cardiovascular system improves, and their brain starts to actual focus. It's just amazing. Interesting.
Yep.
So I follow all the raw milk news, your farm and other farms, and I know a couple years ago, and this kind of irritated me, that Whole Foods stopped carrying your products.
Yep.
And I just thought that was, I don't know the word to use, just big, they're getting too big, and probably their insurance company said don't carry it, or the stock broke, or the stockholders, board of directors probably said, don't care it anymore, there may be a lawsuit. So what's your thoughts on that? I'm just speculating why they did it.
Well, I know exactly what happened 3 years ago. Two kids got sick up in Connecticut, had nothing to do with organic pastures dairy, raw milk here in California. It was a top seller in all those 55 stores here in California. And the decision was made in Austin, Texas. It was not made in California, but Austin, Texas. And it's kind of funny. They call themselves the vicious vegans.
Oh, gosh.
They sit around the table down in Austin, Texas at corporate Whole Foods and make decisions for what food's going to be here, what food's not going to be here for all of the stores in the entire United States.
Oh, my
gosh. So they completely disregarded the fact that the state of California has good laws on raw milk, and it was a popular product and a safe product, and decided that there will be no raw milk in any of their stores in the entire United States of America. So they made a very discriminatory call to discontinue all raw milk in the United States. But I will say this. It's interesting that one of their top-selling products is raw orange juice, and they make it in the stores out in California. It sells like hotcakes. It's $13 a half gallon, and they can't keep it in stock.
A
little bit hypocritical, I think, that they sell raw, unpasteurized orange juice, but they won't do raw milk. And, we were kicked out of the store, within 6 hours' notice.
Holy cow. We went
to our Facebook page and said, everybody, guess what? We just got kicked out of Whole Foods. And we asked the consumers, which stores would you like us to have our raw milk in?
Yeah.
We had a list of 100 stores that people would just dearly love to have us sell our raw milk in. So we contacted the stores. We were back into those neighborhood stores within literally a month. We sold more raw milk after we lost Whole Foods because it was the little mom and pops that are getting payback on Whole Foods being, you know, displacing them than we did the year before. So we've grown, you know, we've grown tremendously even without Whole Foods, even though I wish we were in Whole Foods.
Exactly.
It's a great place for us to be there. I think they just lack the insight to appreciate the fact that every state is different. And, you know, you got to look at every dairy product in a different way. You know, they may not want to carry a certain oysters in certain times of the year from certain places because they carry certain bacteria. But, you know, same thing with raw milk. You know, you look at every product a little differently and give it its own time, you know.
And that's what Whole Foods used to be like. I mean, they have got a little too big, but I think they could get better. Just because you're big, sometimes you lose some quality when you get too big. But it should be local stuff, and every store should be slightly different. Yeah, it's. Yeah. But that's great that you were putting on Facebook. You know, social media definitely works. And then people bought it from the mom and pop stores, and the mom and pop stores are probably glad they're selling milk. But I guarantee people go in there for the milk; they're probably buying other stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's a magnet product. People go into a store, if it's got raw milk, they're going to buy other things there, too. And, you know, we've seen that, where people are attracted to a store for raw milk and buy other things. Yep, we've seen that.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So I'm glad you're saddled the weathery storm with the Whole Foods pulling out of the raw milk. And like I said, I used to work for them. But it's funny. I tell my clients to stay away from any type of juice. I don't care if it's organic or not. Because it's a splurge of blood sugar in your body when you drink organic orange juice. And I'd much rather have – there's no comparison organic orange juice compared to the quality of organic milk. You can live on raw milk. You drink orange juice for a week straight, you're going to have weight gain and a headache.
Yeah.
The only thing – I have done this before is I eat a lot of raw eggs, and I get a lot of my clients doing it. Just put it into smoothies, a local egg. He's got all that essential fatty acids and choline. Especially eggs are so great for the brain. And I, you know, KJS, if they're not needing to lose weight, I was like, well, if you fresh squeeze your own OJ and put a raw egg in there, that was the Orange Julius. I think that was coined back in the bodybuilding days on Venice Beach. I might be wrong, but I think that's maybe correct. Which I think that's pretty interesting. So I get a lot of people on the raw dairy and then the raw milk, and I advocate a lot of raw foods. Not 100%. I think it's beneficial for certain people to get that bacteria back going. But you probably agree with me. You got to go slow if your digestive tract is totally destroyed. You got to slowly introduce the bacteria. Some people can have what I call a detox period that might not be
most
comfortable.
I'm in the middle of an interview right now. Let me call you back in 5 minutes. Thanks.
So anyhow, I was just talking about usually with the clients, I'd slowly introduce some of the raw foods, raw milk and butter and even egg, just not to overwhelm them and to overwhelm their body with all this healthy food. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're coming up on a second break, so hold your thoughts, Mark, and we will come back for the last segment of the Gillette Nutrition Show. We're here on Voice America. We're talking about raw dairy with Mark McGaffey. We're having a great time. We'll talk to you again real soon after the break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Greg Gillette is a nutritionist, herbalist, and owner of Gillette Nutrition. Visit GilletteNutrition.com. Nutrition is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. Over 50% of the population has or will have a serious health condition, such as diabetes, heart disease, cancer, allergies, and obesity. You don't want to be part of this unhealthy epidemic. Learn the knowledge and the skills to lead a healthy and vibrant life. Choose the path to health. Contact Gillette Nutrition at 541-414-8396 or at GilletteNutrition.com. Achieve awesome and amazing health.
Sit back. Close your eyes. Relax. Have you explored the possibilities of yoga? It transcends time, space, and culture. It has healing properties, and it can be done by anyone. Tune in to Yoga Begins Now with Mark and Heather Cherie Titus. Mark and Heather are the team behind the Sedona Yoga Festival. Our program will bring yoga out of the studio and into your life with lively discussions, special guests, and an in-depth exploration of modern yoga. Yoga begins now. Join us every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Gillette Nutrition Show. To contact us this week, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to greg@gillettenutrition.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of the Gillette Nutrition Show on Voice America. I've been talking with Mark McGaffey. Having a great time. I've met him once. Great guy. Has a wonderful company, Organic Pastures Dairy, outside of Fresno, California. And as always, I'm here, GilletteNutrition.com, to give you the best insight to healing your body, because there's so many chronic health issues out there. So my website, again, GilletteNutrition.com, and my direct number is 541-414-8396. Now, Mark, how, if someone's in California, how many stores you're servicing? 400 up and down the whole state, because California is huge.
No, we're actually in 625 stores now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 600, all the way from Mount Shasta at the Oregon border all the way down to San Diego, High Desert out in Palm Springs. We're out in Victorville. We're all over L.A. We're up the coast. We're up in San Francisco, North Coast. We're everywhere. And you go to our store locator at organicpastures.com and put in your zip code, and it'll show you a map of your how you get to your closest store. So we're everywhere.
Awesome. And you got how many? You're doing all the deliveries yourself, right? All in-house.
We are about 90%. There's a little bit of the stores we go through to a distributor, Rock Island in Northern California, that go to like the outer reaches of the state that we don't want to deal with, like up at Chico and up at Mount Shasta. But it's a very small part of what we do. We carry about 90% of the load in our own trucks.
Nice. And how about farmers market? Do you go to a lot of those or not so many?
We're in 22 farmers markets.
Holy cow.
And it's a major source of our revenue. It's also an opportunity for us to be able to touch bases with our consumers, which is so vital in raw milk. So you get to get that really good feedback pure from your consumers, because, you want to connect to your consumers. If you got something wrong, you want to hear about it. You got something right, you want to get a hug,
Both
ways.
Wonderful. Now, I know you carry raw milk, you got raw yogurt. No, do you carry yogurt?
We have kefir, which is kind of like a yogurt, but it's more biodiverse.
Exactly.
It's like fermented raw milk. It's delicious stuff.
And you have the raw butter. And that's cultured butter. So I know what that is, but since you're more the expert than me, can you tell people what you're doing with the butter?
Well, we make two kinds of butter. We make cultured butter, we make regular butter. Butter is just simply the cream that's taken off the whole milk, and we churn it. And that becomes just regular butter. But if you take the cream and you let it sit in a bucket with some Flora Danica bacterial cultures for a few hours, then what you're going to have is called cultured butter, which is kind of an enhanced additional bacteria added into it. And, it's kind of a little more flavor, maybe a little longer shelf life. And I love this stuff. It's delicious.
Yeah, I knew that. But thanks for explaining that to the people. And if someone has never had raw butter, do you think they'd be better to get the plain butter because the raw butter, their cultured butter might be a little too strong for them?
No, I think they actually it's the other way around. Cultured butter tastes a little bit more like butter.
Oh,
wow. A little more flavor to it. But, if somebody wants to get into dairy, the whole idea here is if you have any kind of challenges, baby steps. Just take it easy because your acclimatization in your gut takes a little while. So some people can guzzle a half gallon of raw milk, no big deal.
Exactly.
Other people have, you take a Dix cup for a few hours here and there and kind of take it slow and let that bacteria and the enzymes and everything kind of get used to you. You kind of have to, there's a new sheriff in town when you drink raw milk, and you want to get that gut adjusted slowly.
No, I agree with you totally. I do that with my clients that if they've never had raw milk, and they can get it, I tell them to pour 4 or 5 ounces out the night before, set it on the counter, and put a little something over so in case dust or a bug doesn't go in there. And because it's warm, and I have found people with delicate digestive systems, cold thing, anything cold is hard for them to handle. So I let them sit on the counter, and I tell them, hey, it's not going to go sour on you for just 12 hours overnight. And then they do that every day, and they usually – I still do that today. I like warmer milk. Unless it's really hot, I'll have a glass of cold. But usually I'll pour out my ration for the day and let it sit on the counter. And I did this once, and you probably like for me to do it – for me doing this, I wanted to prove that, hey, raw milk never goes bad. And I've read that. So I took about 16 ounces, put it in a mason jar, set it on my counter, and left it for 3 months. And it didn't go bad. It smelled really sour. And I drank a little bit every day, put it in the fridge, drank an ounce every day until it was gone, no problems. My body was used to it, but it proved to me it didn't smell rotten and rancid like pasteurized milk does.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
I hear you.
I tell people that. Quite interesting. So other products, you do kombucha tea, yes, and like really raw almonds these days?
We actually discontinued our kombucha tea because we couldn't keep the alcohol content less than 1%. And a couple of years ago, there was a big ruckus about that, so we just discontinued it altogether, although people loved it.
Yeah.
We discontinued it.
Okay.
You know, the almonds, we sell a lot of almonds. We sell them through a guy that exports them to Europe. We actually used to sell raw almonds, but the price is so high that our farming plant needed the money now. We didn't want to wait a year to sell them out to consumers. So we don't sell raw almonds anymore. We sell them all to Europe, one big check.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We may be getting back into it. We also used to sell a lot of raw ground beef, which is a fantastic ground beef, but we just don't have enough to supply the market. And all we were doing is upsetting people because we give them a product they can't have and they just get upset. So it's been a challenge.
Were you using your own beef counter for that or were you outsourcing it?
No, we would buy. We would actually cull our own cows. So
okay. If
the cow has a problem, we would cull her into our own organic ground beef program.
Wow, but I can see how you can't keep up with the demand.
No, we couldn't keep up with the supply. We couldn't keep up with it. Demand was just so high.
Well, California is huge. It's like its own country, 38 million
people.
It's
the eighth largest economy in the world.
I know. It's crazy when I know that, too. I just like facts and geography. It's like California... Maybe it should succeed from the union and be its own country. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
No, how about treatment of your cows? I know you treat them real well, but I want to just tell listeners, organic, if they get ill, not majorly ill, do you use homeopathic? Do you use animal nutrition other than they're going to eat grass and hay? What happens?
Sure.
What do you do that way?
Well, we... are very, very careful that the conditions we have on our dairy are such that we prevent most problems.
Okay.
So if we do have a problem, we have a whole bunch of stuff we do to actually treat the cows that do have mastitis or whatever. We make a tincture of garlic that's really, really potent. We use vitamin C shots. We do all kinds of stuff, aloe vera juice. There's lots of things you can do to actually reduce mastitis if it's strep mastitis. Now, Staph aureus mastitis, if you got that, the cow's got to be culled immediately. But we don't have that very often. So, you know. But, yeah, we try to prevent as many diseases as problem on the as we can on the farm.
And do you – I might be getting you mixed up with someone else, but do you go to the cows yourself and milk them, like pull a little trailer or –
We have a mobile milk barn, but it's not as portable as you think it is. It's weighs about 70,000 pounds. We move it about 8 times a year around the farm. But, it's mobile. It costs us almost $1 million to build it. I would never build another one like it.
Holy
cow. It has its benefits, but it also has its challenges. We're getting ready to build a brand-new creamery in the next year or so, and it will not be a mobile creamery. It'll be a centrally located creamery. The cows have to walk just a short distance to get to it. But it'll include all the things we've learned in the last 15 years. It'll be a fantastic learning place for consumers to see where the milk comes from and also much easier for us to milk in as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you'll still keep the mobile milker, but you just kind of move that around different sections.
We move it around. It's 500 acres here. It limits the amount of walking the cows have to do.
Okay.
And, you know, it was very innovative when we built it, but we've also learned that it also has some challenges with it. And the standards in California have changed in the last 10 years. And before, they coliforms didn't matter. Now they do matter. It's harder to keep coliform levels low in a mobile unit than it is with a stationary unit with all the resources available that don't have to be moved with it. So there's just a lot of things that we've learned, and we, you know, are going to lead the show on raw milk food safety. We got to do it well, and so that's what we do.
Okay, fantastic. And as far as year-round, they're eating grass. Now, is grass available year-round in Fresno? I know it's pretty warm down there, actually hot, but it cools off. Is there any hay production?
Well, we have alfalfa we feed the cows supplementally all year long, but we also have pasture grass every day of the year. And the reason we can get away with that is because we actually have irrigated pasture, so we're constantly irrigating all year long.
Okay.
At least 8 months of the year when it's not raining. And that keeps it green so the cows can actually thrive.
And that's all they eat, no grains of any sort?
We actually do feed some supplemental alfalfa.
Yeah, okay, alfalfa,
and we do have a little bit of grain. It's organic grain. Can't afford very much of it, maybe 3 or 4 pounds a day. But cows need that extra energy. And what we found is if they don't get the extra energy, they actually get pretty weak. And a cow with the genetics we've got nowadays, you've got to feed them well or they get weak. If they get weak, that means the immune system's failing and it becomes a food safety problem.
Yeah.
So we actually really encourage our cows, you know, we breed them back to something a little more normal. We do a lot of crossbreeding here so the cow's not a super high performer, so they aren't as much under stress with less calories per day.
Exactly.
An organic cow is going to produce a lot less milk than a conventional cow, but you're going to have nutrition that's got to match up with that. These big old conventional cows, they're putting out, you know, 150 pounds of milk a day, 25 gallons of milk a day. It's an insane amount of milk, but they need an incredible amount of nutrition to do that. In the organic environment with grass, you just don't have it. So
yeah,
you want
exactly.
5 gallons a day or 6 gallons a day with a cow that has immune system that's intact, you need a different ration to do that. So we've kind of come to a place of balance
where the cow
is healthy and she
nice.
Puts out enough milk to make us happy, and everything's kind of in balance with the nutrition program we can provide for her.
But what do you do with the cows when they get retired? This old age, you cut
ground
them?
Ground beef.
Okay, just wondering. What's the average age of your cows?
8-9 years.
Okay.
Nice old cows, yeah. They're taken care of for a long time.
Because the industry, the big mega business, those cows probably last, 2 years, 3 years, and they just die?
3.5 years, 42 months, and they're gone.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's the average, yep.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on a close, about 3 minutes left. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Gillette Nutrition Show on Voice America. I really, really appreciate it. What's your website again for people who want to reach out and find a store to get your great raw dairy products?
Well, in California, you go to organicpastures.com. That's organicpastures.com, or you can call 1-877-RAW-MILK. And you know what? We're in a store near you in California. Across the United States, go to realmilk.com or just Google raw milk and start digging around. I tell you what, it's there. You just got to find it.
And you can ship your great raw cheese, which I've had before, out of the state, correct?
We can ship our raw cheese anywhere in the world, but we can't ship our raw milk products because the FDA has barred them from going across state lines. And I'm dedicated the next part of my life to getting that law changed. And I think we're getting closer and closer to getting that law changed.
Okay, great. And like I said, your raw cheese, if you want real raw cheese, Mark McGaffey's and Organic Pastures cheese is really raw. 105, I think, is the top. Most raw cheese, and they say it's like 1 degree below pasteurization. So you're really getting raw.
Well, you don't know what you're getting when you get raw cheese because it's not defined. We define ours as truly raw at body temperature, never been above 102 degrees, let's say. So it's fully alive. There's a lot of raw cheeses out there. There's fake raw cheese because they come right under the pasteurization temperature and then get away with legally calling them raw when, in fact, they've been cooked. So you got to be careful if you're going to get raw cheese or not, because raw cheese has all those wonderful enzymes, good bacteria, and all the proteins and everything are unchanged. But the fake raw cheeses, they've been cooked pretty good. It's no longer as beneficial as raw cheese.
No, I did exactly what you said. I called up a company. I think it was Organic Valley, and I asked them. It was 1 degree below pasteurization. I was like, how can you call that raw? Hey, it's crazy.
I call that a fraud.
We're coming up on end for the show, 1 minute left. So thanks again, Mark, for coming on to the Gillette Nutrition Show. And tune in. You might like this show next week with special guest next week, Jeffrey Smith, the big GMO advocate, and tells you about the dangers of genetically modified foods. He wrote the book, Seeds of Deception.
Jeffrey's a friend of mine. He's great people.
Fantastic. So tune in next week as we talk about the dangers of genetically modified foods with Jeffrey Smith on Gillette Nutrition Show, Monday, June 30th, 4 p.m. Pacific. And Mark, thanks so much again to you and Organic Pastures Dairy for coming on the show.
My pleasure. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye, Mark.
Thank you again for tuning in to the Gillette Nutrition Show. Greg will be back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, for another edition designed to get you back to a better life on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.